The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, fresh off their world championship, the Dodgers are going down that road again and not waiting any time into the offseason to announce yesterday, Woods, that Mookie Betts will be moving back to the infield in 2025. That he is,
why?
After bouncing around and ending up in the outfield last year.
He played so well in right field.
He will be either at shortstop or second base.
Okay, so
this coming season. I don't totally get it. I thought maybe you'd have a little more insight onto why the Dodgers are so determined to get Mookie Betts into
the
infield.
Right fielders on the
market? There is one really, he's not a good right fielder, but he's a good player, and his name is Juan Soto. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, is that they are going to go guns blazing.
Well, sure, if you sign Juan Soto, then you have a conversation with Mookie Betts about moving, but why do you, before yes. free agency has even really started, you've already announced, oh no, he's definitely going back to the infield next season. I mean, you don't know that you're getting Teoscar Hernandez back.
Well, because you know you can money whip Juan Soto, who wants them to make the most
money. But you could also do that with Willy Adames. I mean, you can pick up middle infielders as well.
Well, today they're going to say, we're looking at a rotation of Yamamoto, Glasnow, Sasaki. Like, they're just going to speak everything into existence.
it was an odd move.
They say Brandon Gomes, who is their general manager, the guy that you really have never heard of because everyone talks about Andrew Friedman, but they actually have a GM. Did you know that? His name is Brandon Gomes.
He used to be a player. He was a Red Sox.
He is. He says that the toll on the body is less in the infield for him, which I don't understand. I feel like the toll on the body in the infield ultimately is going to be harder than the outfield. Yes, you have to do some sprinting in the outfield, so maybe it's a little harder on the knees, but there's way more diving in the infield. And I've got to think that that's the, ultimately over 162 games, that's the hardest thing on a body, is the constantly diving to your left and right. I mean, you know, watch Jake Cronenworth out there playing second base, and, you know, even the balls you don't get to, you kind of have to make that attempt and dive, you know, to your right to stop them, knock them down, even if you don't make the play, constantly throughout the game. You can play right field and go seven innings and a ball's not even hit to you in the outfield. How is it possible that the toll on the body in the infield is less than the outfield?
So, the for him it means something there. Brandon says it's less toll on the body for him. Maybe second base is a better option for Mookie Betts than shortstop is a really physically and, by the way, a really mentally draining position. You know, like you got to be dialed. Not that you don't when you're a big league right fielder. You do. But like you said, Benny, I mean, there's guys, you know, that come up. They're not going over there. They're not going to right field. Like you get a few chances a game. He plays a really good right field. He played a really excellent right field in the playoffs. I mean, phenomenal, actually. This makes no sense to me at all. When you have Gavin Lux, who is your second baseman, and then you re-upped Miguel Rojas. Now, Miguel Rojas is an older guy. He's a bench piece.
$5 million, yeah.
Yeah, you re-upped
utility
him.
Utility guy, essentially.
I don't, you're clearing.
And Tommy Edman, though, yeah.
Oh, God, yes, you have Tommy Edman. You're clearing a spot for a big outfielder, I guess. That's my only thought, is that, yeah.
Again, you don't have to do that today, though. I think Mookie is driving this.
Maybe.
Just wants to play infield. And when you have a superstar that makes his wishes known, well, you have to generally, you know, bow down to those wishes.
Well, and I think, you know, people are saying he's probably going to go to second because they'll trade Gavin Lux. And I think Gavin Lux is a tradable piece. I think that that's a guy that another team would want. And so maybe that's it. Just making Mookie happy. It just doesn't.
I mean, we talk about it.
It doesn't feel like Mookie Betts, right?
We've talked about it a ton with Fernando and not wanting to move him back to shortstop,
correct,
because of the toll it takes on your body. Is it possible that it's just different play styles, or it can have a different effect on different guys?
I mean, I think second, you know, we say second's probably easier than short, but like you mentioned, Jake Cronenworth, that dude is banged up and filthy after every single game he plays at second base. It's not like you're not diving around and, you know, making throws and everything else. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me, but they are typically one step ahead of everybody else. They've got a plan in place, and they stick to their plan.
I know they are, but this certainly feels like if the Padres were doing it, it's something that's going to backfire and bite them in the butt. Like, oh, let's move our superstars back from the infield to the outfield to the infield to the outfield, and everyone go, you gotta stick with one position. You're not doing this right. You're not operating your organization well. No one ever says that about the Dodgers. When the Dodgers do it, it's creative and it's flexibility.
Brilliant.
They do all these things so well. And when other teams do it, it's like, you don't know baseball. You don't know what you're doing. It's
honestly
a double standard.
From my recollection, it didn't go well when Mookie was in the infield last year. I know he worked. So the other thing, too, is like I read last year, oh, my God, they made the biggest deal out of it. Oh, Mookie's out an hour early getting grounders at short. Isn't that, like, extra toll on the body? You know, like, he's out there grinding hard to be the best middle infielder that he can be when he's really a gold glove right fielder. I don't know.
Just moving back and forth from second to short seemed like it took a toll on Xander Bogaerts.
No doubt.
And that's just both middle infield positions, not asking him to go to the outfield, so We'll see how this plays out for the LA Dodgers.
I'm sure it'll be fine and great.
Now, there was another position change that was announced that does make, I think, a lot of sense. We'll get to that. First, we need a contestant for Real or Fake. If you want to call in now, get on the line, 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Chance to win tickets to tomorrow night's Aztecs New Mexico game at Snapdragon Stadium. Maybe you can take some of the sand from the field home with you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
833-288-0973. The St. Louis Cardinals, who apparently are in rebuilding mode. Based on the reports, the guys that are available in trade, like Ryan Helsley is available in trade. Nolan Arenado is available in trade. They are rebuilding. But they are keeping Wilson Contreras. They're just not going to have him catch anymore.
Yeah,
they're going to move him to first base. He is done catching. Now, undoubtedly, catching takes a bigger toll than first base, like massively bigger toll, and they want to keep his bat in the lineup for more games. I think it does make a lot of sense here for the Cardinals to try to maximize his bat and keep him on the field more often.
He was the victim of the bat to the wrist seen a couple times in his career, and I think for him, a talented guy, that's what he's going to do. He's going to play first base and DH, and he's going to rotate between those. They've already made that decision. And they have some young catchers too, Ivan Herrera and Pedro Páez that are good as well.
Is he related to Andy from the Dodgers? I don't even know.
Could be. The medical team, Mozeliak said, our medical team recommended the move in terms of if he really wants to extend his career, they think that would be best for him. And it's great. Said it from a defensive standpoint, it creates an opportunity for those two different players. So I would say it's very unlikely to see him behind the plate again.
Now, is Brandon Gomes, the Dodgers general manager, related to Johnny Gomes? Because our boss
that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah, that's what our boss Adam texted.
Gomes.
He thinks that you're thinking of Johnny Gomes, who played for the Red Sox. Brandon Gomes is a former big leaguer, too. He played for the Rays. Adam says, I don't think that's who Woods thought he
meant. No, I was thinking of that dirtbag bearded Johnny Gomes, which I thought would be an odd Odd pick for a GM. Yeah, Brandon Gomes.
Brandon Gomes.
My bad.
Don't know as much about him. Former professional baseball pitcher and current baseball executive.
Okay. Oh, he's a pitcher.
Pitcher, apparently. Okay. So, yeah, he's the guy that no one talks about with the LA Dodgers,
though. Yeah, because it's Friedman.
Yeah. All right, we got some callers on the line. Let's get to it. It is time to play a Throwback Thursday edition of Real or Fake.
Some are here for the compelling sports talk with Ben and Woods. You can go plow through another donut. It's time for Real or Fake on 97.3 The Fan. Tell the people what they'll win today.
Aztecs football tickets, your chance to win today. Game against New Mexico tomorrow night at Snapdragon Stadium. And let's go, let's try line four today. Is this Scott?
Yeah, hello?
Hello, Scott. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys?
All right, man. You're in luck. You're our contestant today on Real or Fake. Here's how our game works. I've got today's category. If you can separate the real from fake four out of seven times, you will win the Aztecs tickets. And Woods is here to help. And now that Woods is into college basketball, this should be an easy one for everybody involved. Today's game is simple. I will give you a name. You tell me if it is a real college or university with a Division I men's basketball team.
Oh, okay.
Now, there are like over 300 Division I teams. I've also made up a few that I've thrown in there that are not real. So all you have to do is separate the real from the fake, Scott. You ready to play? Let's go round one. Hampton University. Real or fake? Hampton University.
Let's go real.
Is he going to go real?
Yeah, I'd say real.
Yep. Pirates from the Coastal Conference. That is real, and that is 1 point for Scott. All right, let's go to round number two. The University of New Orleans. Real or fake, Scott? The University of New Orleans.
Woodsy, what do you think?
I swear I want to say I've seen them in the tournament. I'll say real.
He says real, Scott.
All right, I trust you, Woodsy. Let's go real.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy. Were they in the tournament ever?
I think they were. The Privateers from the Southland Conference. All right, you guys are on fire here.
Stay hot.
Going for the clean sweep. Let's go round number three. Let's try Stonehill College. Real or fake? Stonehill College.
I'm going to have to go. I'll go fake on that one.
Yeah, I'll go fake.
I had never heard of this one. It's real. The Skyhawks of the Northeast Conference. All right, that's all right. One miss is not a problem. Let's go round number four. Westgate University. Real or fake? Westgate University.
Does he go four in a row real?
There's no, I think he's got to go a fake, and I think Westgate, wasn't that the name of a cult? Let's go fake.
All right, we'll go fake.
Yeah, we will.
That is fake.
Yes.
Very good.
All right, buddy.
You are one away from the win here. Let's try round five. Queens University. Real or fake? Queens University.
What do you think, Wood?
God, this feels like such a trick question.
They're all trick questions. That's fair. The point of the game.
Let's say real.
We'll go real.
You will?
Yeah.
You'd be right.
Yeah,
Queens
buddy!
University, the Royals of the A-Sun Conference. And that's a win, Scott. Very good. Stay on the line. Paul, we'll get your information.
Freddie Mercury's alma mater,
and
says Jay.
We will send you those tickets for San Diego State football. University of Pensacola.
Fake.
Fake. Very good. Northern Pennsylvania University.
Real.
Fake. Right, not bad. Good job, guys. Today, a winning game of real or fake.
That makes me happy.
With Scott and Woods.
Congrats, Scotty.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Do you have anything for Don't Do This here, Woods?
Oh, I'm sure I can dig something up, Ben.
I do have a member of the Detroit Lions who is apologizing today. We always get to the Don't Do This after we've already gotten to the apology for whatever they did.
It's true.
Over the weekend. It actually brings more attention to what you did when you have to apologize for it. We'll get to that coming up next on San Diego's number one sports station after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't do this.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't do this.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a little throwback Thursday don't today, and I'm going to start in the NFL woods with Brian Branch, who is apologizing for, well, he was ejected during the Lions' win over the Green Bay Packers on Sunday after a hit on Packers receiver Bo Melton, and then as he was exiting the field, Branch decided to throw up the birds, the middle fingers, to the crowd at Lambeau. He was frustrated, but also got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty for that. He apologized for the flipping of the double birds to the Green Bay crowd, said he agreed with the referee's call. Quote, that's not something I want to show or want people to notice me as that. That was just the heat of the moment, and I apologize to everyone who sees that. It won't happen again. My question to you, should we be offended at someone throwing a middle finger up?
No.
I mean, it's only because we have collectively decided that that's a rude gesture, that it is a rude gesture.
Yeah.
I mean, we have lots of fingers, and you can throw any of them up and mean whatever you want. But we've decided that that,
if I use my ring finger, is that really,
or no one can even tell the difference. It looks kind of the same. It looks very similar,
right,
a
here,
ring
buddy.
Finger up to a middle finger.
My question to you is, have you ever given anyone the middle finger?
I'm not, because, you know, I'm a...
What?
I'm a nice,
you're better, you know, than us,
well-behaved person.
I think that's what you were getting.
But I don't know why. Why should it be such a big deal?
Well, if it's not such a big deal, why haven't you ever done it?
I don't know.
Nobody's ever made you that mad. Have you ever done the thing? You've never done the thing where, like, you get in an argument with somebody, they walk away, and you're like, oh.
I did something I almost never do yesterday.
Oh, God, what?
I honked at another driver.
Oh my!
Whoa! God.
Was it like a boop?
No,
that's you.
It was like, dun, 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 dun.
Whoa.
So, you know, I'm on El Camino Real. It's not busy. There's only...
When is it not busy?
It really, well, this is the stretch, like, you know, as you're going toward the on-ramp Manchester, where, you know, there's three lanes and there's plenty of room.
Plenty of room.
So I'm coming up and there's a light and it's red, but it's way off in the distance. And there's I'm in the right lane and then there's cars both waiting at the red light. Turns green. I'm still... like 500-600 yards away. The car in the lane to the left of me goes, but the car in my lane doesn't go. Just sitting there at the green, like, okay, and I'm not really slowing down because I'm thinking, he's going to go. It's green, right?
I mean, on his phone.
You know, at some point he's going to go. I've got a lot of room.
Yep.
So it's like, I'm not going to just all of a sudden slam on my brakes, but still doesn't go. Finally, I have to hit my brakes and stop at a green light behind this car. So I kind of hit the horn gently, like, beep, come on, go. still doesn't go. So now at this point, I'm like, okay, beep, beep, beep. Whoa. It's green. It's been green for about 15 seconds, and you're still sitting there
he's
at the
light.
He's
going to kill somebody.
This is dangerous. Yeah, the car behind me slams on their brakes because they're, you know, they think, why isn't it's green? Why isn't everybody going? So I actually did hit the horn a couple of times, but I didn't. I almost, and then I went around him to the left because then he was driving really
you
slow.
Feel bad after?
I thought about the middle finger.
That would have been the perfect time. Wake up!
I didn't break it out, but now I feel like maybe I should have.
Give me one right now. Bird me. Yes. Was that on camera?
No.
No.
Do it on camera. You look at him. Such a softy. You are such a
chat. I just know that you going to hell.
You will
send
hold,
Ben to anger
you will hold
management.
Those screenshots of me for the rest of my life.
All right, here, do it.
I don't
here.
Really want that screenshot. No, I don't want that. I don't want that screenshot.
You're not fun.
You are
I don't feel bad for what's happening
to
you.
You have plenty
now
of great screenshots of me already.
Yeah, I don't feel bad about what's coming at 8. I was going to, but now I don't, because he won't give the audience. He won't give the audience the middle finger. Do you have another don't do
this?
Yeah,
I'll throw this one. I could have made this either side, but I'll give a don't do this to the basketball fans who continue to harp on the fact that Jason Tatum didn't get to play much in the Olympics, that he got benched by Steve Kerr. And they just keep going. They want him to react. They want this to be a story. They want Jason Tatum. They played the Warriors yesterday. They want him to be offended and take revenge on Steve Kerr.
Your beloved.
Because he didn't play him enough during the Olympics. By the way, the team that won the Olympics, gold medal.
Yes.
Obviously, he did something right.
He knew what he was doing.
And Jason Tatum, I think this is good. This is the do this part. He said, basically, stop telling me how to react. People want me to be louder. People want me to be meaner. Whatever. One thing about Jason, referring to himself in the third person. I'm always going to do what the F I want to do. And he's not going to be pressured into a narrative that other people want to create for him, that this is some motivating factor for him. This is a revenge tour showing everybody in the league that he deserved to play more during the Olympics. He's not going down that road, even though fans and media members would like to see that from him, make that a thing. He's not making it a thing. Now,
how do you do?
Not well. They lost to the Warriors, who are now 7-1, by the way.
Shocking.
Good job. That's a shocking record for Golden State, a team we all thought was on the decline. They lose Klay Thompson, off to a really good start so far this season. Just the second loss of the season for the Boston Celtics.
And I have taken over doo-doo this.
D-D mega doo-doo.
After yesterday's doo-doo this, had to make an executive presidential decision when Ben talked all about Kirk Herbstreit's cancer-ridden dog.
So, I'm in doo-doo this timeout.
Yeah, you're in. I mean, I may pull your credentials for it forever.
I still can't believe
it. I thought about it all day, about how it's a positive story, but Ben said, yeah, his dog is ravaged with cancer. Probably won't make it.
Let me read you all of the details.
I'll read you everything. He probably won't make it through the weekend. And on what planet is that a positive story? Now, this is a positive story.
A lot of people love the dog.
That's right, which is great.
I thought that was positive.
But you were telling us about all of his maladies and arthritis.
Just reading
and
Kirk's tweet about all the maladies.
Well, anyway, I'm taking over. This is what the segment's for right here. You guys may remember Seth Erskins, also goes by DeFlo. Seth DeFlo Erskins. Now, we played this clip for you before the season started. You'll remember this guy.
This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts, whether win or lose. We love them. For the shoe, beat the Cardinals. Let's stop them on their big red wings. This is our team. Go Colts! Yeah!
Fantastic. And he does it for every opponent. And, well, listen, some people have taken notice. They love his commitment. They love his imagination. And he has been...
Not some people. The Colts.
The Colts. They have decided to get him a very special early holiday gift, tickets to the Super Bowl. Now, he's not, I could say pretty with certainty, he's not going to be seeing his beloved Colts in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't think so.
That being said, they love what he's doing. They said, we want to make sure you get to the Super Bowl, Mr. DeFlo. And they have hooked him up, man. So
So the Colts invited him to the team facilities.
Yep.
And just said, you know, hey, we wanted to do some social media stuff with you. Like, here's a green screen. We're going to take some shots, do some, film some clips
yeah.
with this social media superstar.
Guy.
And so he's like, all right, this is awesome. And then they guys walk in with two, like, you know, the giant checks yeah, or whatever.
The fake tickets.
The giant fake cardboard Super Bowl tickets. And he has been named the Colts super fan or fan yeah. of the year or whatever, whatever promotion they're running. And they surprised him on the set at their facilities with two tickets to the Super Bowl.
Very cool move from the Colts. Very classy move as well. He said, this has been a pretty wild, fun ride. All the cool stuff I'm taking in already. I like his, you know, it's funny, man, because we have people in our community that do, you know, raps and bits and stuff. And I don't look at the same. I look at those guys as curses. Many of them. This I don't look like. I think this is just a sweet fan that is like, I love this team. I'm not. He never. He did say we're going to stomp them on their big red wings, right? So he was kind of taking a shot at the Cardinals. But I don't know. It's a different. There's a different vibe. I get filled with rage when I see like some of the rappers in our Padres community. I'm like, you're a jinx.
That's what's in.
Yeah, that's a jinx to me. This is just a sweet guy.
This isn't
that loves
that's
his,
what's indie the, right now.
This is just a sweet guy that loves his team, and he's been rewarded. He gets to go to the Super Bowl in New Orleans. He's going to have a great time.
And maybe it's just his tone.
Yeah, maybe.
But it sounds more
it's
positive.
More positive, sweeter.
Now, how do we get super fan Super Bowl tickets without actually being super fans?
I don't really want to go.
I've never really had the giant desire. I think it's in New Orleans this
yeah,
year,
New
right?
Orleans.
I want to go to New Orleans.
You've never,
I've
been.
I've never been to New Orleans.
All right, so you know how we're going to Philly as our show trip this year in 2026.
Show trip?
Now,
New Orleans?
I realize oh, yeah. there's no baseball there, but we can go catch a Pelicans game.
I like it.
And eat. Watching eat. This dude suck oh. down jambalaya and po' boys.
Etouffee. Gumbo.
It's, first of all,
filetas.
It's phenomenal. Like, the food there is ridiculous, but watching him, and you know how
oysters.
Much he loves sausage.
Oh.
Andouille sausage.
Andouille. Mm.
Paulie,
oh my God.
He'll just gorge himself the whole time. It'll be great.
I'm in.
I'm so in. Have you been to New Orleans before?
No. I was going to go, and then still COVID was still going on. The trip got canceled.
Ray makes a good point. He goes, I mean, the Colts do look cursed. That's fair. That's actually a fair point. But they looked at him and said, you're something positive in our community.
It's not like the Colts are failing to meet expectations.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's true. They're not failing to meet expectations.
Way before this guy came.
Oh, Spencer Beignets. Oh, chicory coffee. Bro, it's such a... And, like, it's wild. Pat O'Brien's. Hurricanes at Pat O'Brien's.
See, now I don't really need to do the old... You know, Mardi
I don't want to go to Mardi Gras.
No, thing.
We're too old
yeah,
for
wanna,
Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I want to do a more tame version of New Orleans.
Well, we will. We'll do an eating and a basketball tour.
Hooter Research.
Commander's Palace, Brennan's.
You'll yeah. still catch some Hooter Research there, though. It's wild. I mean, it's a wild town, and it's so much cool history and the voodoo stuff, all of that. Like, it's just rad. It's a rad place to go. So how about that? And I think we could do it relatively right. inexpensive. So next year, 26, we will do it.
It's planned.
It's planned.
And that's a completely
gotta find Pelicans
sick dog
somehow.
Free version of Don't and yeah. Do This for a Thursday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Drew said it would be so hilarious to look back at someone blaring the horn at you and it's Ben Higgins. That would make my week. Mine too, actually.
I mean, what? F you! If you're thinking, what must have I done wrong to make this man mad at me?
Yeah.
I really must reevaluate my life.
I honk a lot less than I used to. Only if somebody's weaving into my lane. I'm way more patient in the car now. When you have kids, you kind of have to be. You know?
True.
It happens. Oh, I'm so excited for 8.
First, there's 7:35, though. And more takeaways from yesterday's AJ Preller, Mike Shildt news conference, including... Payroll talk.
I haven't heard any, and I'd like to hear some.
Payroll talk, and we can play some of the audio as well. Of course, we've got Mike Shildt coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, but where the Padres stand right now, I have a couple of clues yesterday, and we'll bring those to you next here on 97.3 The Fan. I remember when 2 weeks ago, AJ Preller said, I'll know more in 2 weeks on the payroll.
Yeah, everyone's following their word these days.
Yeah, he didn't really say that he knows more on the payroll yet. Said those Those decisions have yet to be made by Eric Kitsenda and Eric Gruppner, but they're starting to get an idea of what it's going to look like. And there were some context clues as well yesterday. We will talk a little bit more about what came out during yesterday's Mike Schilt contract extension news conference with he and A.J. Preller right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings and try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild, smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce for a rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauces. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. So, it was brought up a little bit, you know. Who is coming back? You know, who are you going to try to re-sign? And it's hard to know exactly where the Padres stand until you know what the payroll is going to look like for next season. And according to, here's a passage from the UT's piece on yesterday's news conference. Based on current contracts and projected salaries for arbitration-eligible players, Padres' payroll commitment for 2025 already exceeds $200 million. They're also projected to be pushing up against the competitive balance tax threshold. Those totals do not account for adding at least one starting pitcher and either re-signing or replacing free agent left fielder Jurickson Profar, among other necessary additions. So,
but you missed the most important part, maybe. A team CBT payroll is not calculated until the end of the season. There are numerous avenues for the Padres to lower that number, which they anticipate
doing. I do want to discuss what that potentially means, because I think that's probably the most significant line in that whole piece. But first, let's get some sound from Mike Schilt and AJ Preller talking about those free agents like Profar, Ha-Sung Kim, Kyle Higashioka, and kind of the more financial elements of yesterday's discussion.
I deferred AJ on that. I mean, there's a business side to it. You know, there's a lot of pieces that, you know, are part of that puzzle. I mean, I loved all three of those guys. You know, I mean, they did a phenomenal job for us. Very grateful for them. They're one of the reasons that I'm getting this extension. So I'm thankful to them, as like I said, to all the players. But I'll defer to AJ on any of the, you know, particulars on that.
So then my next question for AJ, obviously, Profar and Kim were not extended qualifying offers. Can you kind of go into that decision-making process and then just kind of your outlook on their off seasons and whether you'd like to bring them back?
Yeah, no, they're, you know, Profar and Kim, they've been a big part of this thing. Jurickson at different points in time in the last few years, and obviously he had the great year this year. So, you know, he's somebody we're definitely interested in talking to, and, you know, he's a real part of what we're doing. And, you know, I've already extended out and just started those conversations, but, you know, again, he's somebody that he's earned the right to be a free agent. So we'll kind of see where that takes us. Same thing with Ha-Sung. You know, I think Ha-Sung, you know, and I think, you know, from his standpoint, the injury, you know, as well, that, you know, he'll come back from that, but that's all part of the calculus. And, you know, kind of that's what this week is for here. And at the GM meeting, is we've been preparing for, you know, for this, and this is kind of the start of the off season. So, you know, ultimately decided not to put the qualifying offer. That's a $20+ million number on a 1-year deal. Just feel like, you know, that wasn't quite the direction we wanted to go to on a 1-year situation, but it doesn't close the door on either player. I think, you know, now we get into the free agent period, and, you know, we're spending the week trying to see what our options are, what things look like, getting a lot of information, you know, from a roster standpoint. And, you know, Jurickson and Ha-Sung are going to be two guys that are going to be part of our conversations all off season.
All right. I know it always a bit of a word salad from AJ, but he was pretty clear that, okay, they don't have the room for a 1-year $21.05 million deal because, well, for either of those guys, it may be an overpay, and that all that money would also go against your CBT number. If you extend them out a few years, you might be able to lower that number. There might be a way to bring back one or, you know, both of those guys on a longer term deal, but not on a 1-year deal, especially not at that qualifying number offer. I think that's more than fair. No one really thinks that a 1-year deal for Jurickson for $21 million is where you're kind of going in this direction.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if it's a multi-year deal, that he seeks. I got texted a rumor yesterday, and I don't know where this person saw it, but I'll just take it to the air. Why not? But it was the Royals potentially interested in Jerks and Profar at $45 million for 3 years. So that would be 15 per. Seems fair-ish, yeah? 15, 45, yeah?
Three-ish.
Three, 45?
On the ish side.
Yeah.
Ish.
I don't think it would be more than that, but that's a good upper end number for Jerks and Profar, I'd say.
And you know, they've been after a lot of the ex-Padres on the Kansas City Royals.
They made the playoffs last year.
You know, could bring some attitude and swagger to that team. But again, you know, Jerkson, like AJ said, has earned the right to go out and test the market. And if you can't do better than that, then maybe he's a Kansas City Royal next year. And, you know, I wish him very well. I don't know that you want to get into a massive bidding war there for a left fielder that, you know, again, had a great season. And I'm not super sullied by the postseason a little bit, right? But the decline in the second half, you know, was certainly something that you have to look at. And again, I just know Jerkson loves being a part of this team, but maybe not to sacrifice tens of millions of dollars, you know.
Well, and that's
nor
the thing.
Should he have to.
If you want to bring him back and the cost is going to be $15 million a year, do you have to find that money somewhere else? And that was that other part of the piece in the UT that, you know, there are numerous avenues for the Padres to lower that CBT number, which they anticipate doing. Now, what does that mean? Lowering your payroll and lowering your CBT number are not always the same thing.
Correct.
You can actually increase the payroll and lower the number, and
Correct.
You can lower the payroll and increase the CBT number by, you know, kind of creative accounting with long-term deals and the way you structure contracts. You can front-load contracts and back-load contracts and change your number a little bit creatively. And I think that's kind of where we're going here. Like you could massively increase the CBT by extending Jackson Merrill for 12 years. Even though you may only be paying him $1.5 million next year, his CBT number could be $28 million based on a long-term deal.
And that's kind of the deal with Shohei, right? Like they don't get just banged for the $2 million they pay him. They get banged.
It's 47, I think, or something on the CBT because it's the deferred money based on like interest rates and you know what they have to set aside for Shohei's contract.
And could there be, you know, because Arraez could come back on an arbitration deal of what, 13, right? But you could go in, negotiate a longer deal, lower AAV, and that would help the CBT?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could pay him 15 this year and then, you know, 10 and 7 the next 2 years and have a lower CBT number while he actually makes a bigger raise this year. There's a number of different ways you can do it.
Creativity time.
You can also go the traditional way and trade away guys that are making money this season. And we've talked about it a couple of times. Guys on, you know, arbitration eligible expiring contracts like Dylan Cease, like Luis Arraez, that might have value with other teams. Not only could you pick up prospects and reload a bit of your farm system, maybe even pick up some pitching, but you could save quite a bit of money on the CBT by trading some of those guys. You're also creating other holes on your team when you do that you're going to have to figure out a way to fill. So, you know, everything comes with a both advantage and then a cost to you, depending on what you want to do this offseason.
I mean, do you feel as a Padres fan, you know, and you guys out there listening, certainly weigh in on the chat or on Twitter or whatever. Do you feel that it would be, now again, you can't, you know, we cut $92 million last year and AJ put together a really good and competitive team, a team that made people want to go out to the ballpark and watch it and sell out Petco Park 56 times, right? Is it a slap in your face, do you feel, if they're like, yeah, we're going to do it again. We're going to cut more payroll and, you know, expect you guys to come out to the ballpark still? Or do you have to kind of wait and see what the team looks like on the field?
You have to wait. You know, their stated goal is that they are going to spend enough to put a championship contender on the field. Now, that is
that's some
open to interpretation,
that means. That's some owner-GM speak
you know,
there.
As fans...
We're going to be competitive.
As fans, if they they have a $100 million payroll and win the World Series, we don't care.
Nobody cares.
We don't care. And if they have a $400 million payroll and don't make the playoffs, we're still going to be pretty mad about it.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good point.
You know, ultimately,
where's the needle? You got to thread the needle.
You can't really evaluate whether you think the payroll was good or not until at the end of the season.
It's true.
I think most people would have said cutting $90+ million from the payroll was not a good thing for the organization last year.
Yeah.
But now, after winning 93 games, you go, wow, that was really good work by AJ Preller.
Sure.
And I have no problem with them lowering the payroll and now getting out of the CBT penalties. That was a win-win season for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, could they go back over the CBT level? Of course. They may have to this year just to put that championship
caliber,
contending yeah. caliber team on the field. And I will go back to, and I've said it before, I'm not anti-Dylan Cease. I would be happy if he was on the roster going forward. But I am absolutely listening to trade offers for Dylan Cease this offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him away. I'm not going, I have to trade Dylan Cease. I have to shed his salary.
Yeah, because that's 180 innings you need to find if you do trade him.
He is, according to his FIP, which is the ERA number that is fielding independent, it was basically his best season last year was the 3.10. Do you think he's going to be better next year or not as good next year? What's the...
Or as good.
It was at 3.72 the year before. 3.1 is excellent. It really is good. His whip was a career best last year at 1.067. What arc do you think Dylan Cease is on? Upward? Flat? Or downward?
I could see him going up. I could see him...
If it's up, you want to keep him. If it's flat or downward, you want to think about trading him before, you know, that downward...
Well, you
that
can...
That downward slide.
So, I mean, he...
He's certainly not old. He's only 28.
It would have to be a really enticing offer that helps you.
I think so too.
Multiple ways.
Multiple ways. And I do think I'm kind of in favor of prospects. I'm kind of in favor.
One of those ways, though, is salary flexibility.
Right.
By not having to pay him his last year of arbitration, which is going to be a pretty big number.
It's not that big though.
Like
14,
17.
That's not that much, man. Not for a starting for 180 front line. I know the playoffs sucked, but the front line ace.
You gotta have the horses
guy,
to get to the playoffs.
Of course,
you can complain about how guys perform in the playoffs.
Yeah, no question, no question. And can he get you? So then, Ben. You ride him out the last year, and maybe you don't extend him. You don't talk about a contract extension in the middle of the season. And you just ride him out. Then you extend him a qualifying offer in the offseason for whatever it is, $22 million, and he'll decline it. And then you get a comp pick from whoever signs him.
You rode him hard last year. Career high, 189 regular season innings plus.
Yeah.
Couple of playoff starts, including one on 3 days rest.
They didn't last long, so
it's
fine.
I mean, he's been very durable,
yeah.
Which has been one of the great things about Dylan Cease. But all pitchers have an arm limit.
Sure.
I mean, you'd rather have it, if he's going to hit it, you'd rather have him hit it with another team than your team.
Yeah, I would. That's why I think I would just roll the dice with him in my starting rotation, knowing he's basically playing for you for this year. Then he's going to hit free agency. You get a comp pick back when he declines your qualifying offer, which he most certainly would if he had a good year. And even if he had an average year, he's still probably going to decline the $20 million one-year deal because he wants long-term security. And you see what you can get, and you go try to win a World Series with Dylan Cease. And hopefully he pitches better in the playoffs than he did.
Again, I'm not opposed to keeping Dylan Cease.
That ain't a lot of money.
There's definitely upside. There's a lot of upside there, even if it is just his last year with the Padres,
guys,
and you're going to lose him.
Think about this. You're not going to... So let's just go innings for innings. So find another pitcher that threw 180 innings but has multiple years of control. That team's not going to trade that guy to you for Dylan Cease with 1 year remaining.
Right.
So you may get something that
right,
could help you for the future.
I'm saying, like, if you could sign Blake Snell... there's no guarantee that Dylan Cease is going to throw more innings than Blake Snell next year. Just because he has done it doesn't mean he's going to do it again next year.
Get them both.
You got to project.
Get them both.
Right, I said it the other day. If you're going to try to go all in on 2025, you can sell me by going and signing Blake Snell and having a rotation of Cease, King,
Snell.
Darvish, and Snell.
Yes.
And then figure it out.
Because
we're
already down
a starting pitcher.
Now you're blowing way past the CBT, which is fine.
I don't care.
You probably will have to have a reckoning for that the next year. And I feel like both of you guys are okay with that.
Yeah.
That you're definitely going to have to let Dylan Cease go. There's no way to re-sign him.
I'm all in 2025.
You might have to make some other tough decisions for 2026, well, like but I you said, can go for it in 2025.
You don't.
And go well over, even maybe into the second apron level this year, knowing you may have to cut again big in 2026.
Well, and as Satan's Blowfish says, cease at the deadline would be the worst case scenario. That means the season's likely a disaster. The players return a lot less at the deadline nowadays compared to a full season. Yeah, man, let ride him out, go try to win a World Series, and then get a comp pick for him when he turns down your QO.
Fair enough. All right. We will
also, we're going to be in a work stoppage then, so it really won't matter.
We will talk to Mike Schilt 1 hour from now at 9 a.m. But when we come back...
Oh, you're dead.
I don't know why, but Woods has promised this for a while, so we'll be right back on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.